Hey, you're listening to Coffee Talk with Liquid Shane on 1973. Here's your host, Shane Lakita.
Morning, folks. I hope that your morning is starting off right on the right foot with a nice cup of Joe in the hand or whatever your drink of preference is. And you're ready to go out and make the great things happen today. I'm hoping that it all starts off right. And if it isn't, I'm hoping it turns around really quickly for you. You know, I'm sitting here thinking to myself about Coffee Talk, and I'm thinking about all the different podcasts and blog entries and everything else that we do or that I do on these different social media platforms. And one of the big things that we're always talking about is the mind work. And I'm always talking about how we have to get ourselves mentally prepared, how we have to battle through issues and battle through life's tough situations that are thrown your way and all those things, right? And we have these conversations that are all built around just the internal struggle that we go through, the mental work, the hard work in making sure that we stay focused, not getting distracted by things, all the different things that we're talking about within our health journeys. And it seems to resonate with a lot of people because I think that a lot of people want to be able to overcome that part of their journey so that way they can handle all the rest of the part of the journey. But today I want to talk about food, okay? Now, food in a sense of not just with calories or fat content or, you know, statistics or numbers or carbohydrates or sugars and those kind of things, not that kind of stuff. I don't want to talk about scientific side of food. I want to talk about the mental side of food, but food in the way that it makes you feel and food in the way that it triggers certain items or feelings or energy within yourself of where you're at. Because I was thinking to myself, I'm getting up in the morning. I think to myself, why, you know, I have this nice cup of coffee right here. And how does this coffee make me feel? And people that don't drink coffee might not be able to understand exactly how I feel with a cup of coffee. And my identity that I make with that cup of coffee, how it makes me feel in the morning where I feel warm and fuzzy, or I feel as if I can conquer the world because I have a nice boost of energy, where I have just gotten a good night's sleep, but this helps me just kick my day off right. And there's all kinds of different feelings or words that I can describe the way that I feel within this cup of coffee. Now, mind you, coffee's not food, but coffee is something that I take in my body that I drink in the morning, every morning, to be able to start my day off right and do the right things or do what I consider to be the right things. A lot of times if I don't drink coffee in the morning, which is a bad situation a lot of times, my wife will tell you, my day is off. I'm off-centered. I'm not really feeling like I'm in. Now, it could be mental, and that's what I'm going to talk about here about food is the mental side of food. So every one of us that are out there right now, we all have a trigger. We all have comfortable foods. And when you're thinking to yourself, how do I feel when I eat certain items? Let's go through the list. A lot of people feel certain ways on certain holidays. So let's say, for instance, you're having Thanksgiving dinner and you got turkey and you got gravy and you got pies and you got mashed potatoes and you got squash and you got all the different items that you would normally have on a Thanksgiving dinner. Now, when people think of that item or that food or that meal, they think of all kinds of things that are going on around them and how it mentally makes them feel. One, the tryptophan kicks in. You want to take a nice long nap. Maybe there's football going on in the background. Maybe there's family all around you. And you are tying together good family, good time, good conversations, bonding, and closeness with turkey dinner and stuffing and gravy and all those things. Or maybe somebody on Easter cooks a ham, and on the ham, they put a certain glaze portion over the top of the ham. And with the ham, they might have some turnips or some rutabagas or some potatoes or some sort of thing that they can put together as a traditional meal that they make on Easter for the family. After you go out to church, you get home, you do all the things that you're doing, and you're making this, and the house smells terrific. And those smells and those tastes and the food itself brings back many memories in your lifetime. These are all mental things that food does for you. Now, whether we think they are or not, they make you feel good. And when you are in the moment you are eating those things, what happens is that trigger goes off in our brain to make us think to ourselves that I can eat as much as I want to. One, because it's a holiday and I'm with family and it's okay. Everything's great. Everything's perfect. And I can eat whatever I want and eat as much as I want to, not realizing that, no, not really. It's just any other day that you need to treat it like yesterday or the day after today. Okay. And so when you're sitting there and you're going through all these different emotions and feelings of different types of food, you got to come to a point where you can realize that food, although triggers great things for us, and every single one of us that have struggled with weight, struggled with being obese or heavy, or struggled with the love handles or whatever, 9 times out of 10, what happens is that the food that you're putting in your body is what's causing all that to happen. Now, why do you put the certain foods in your body? Why did, back in the day when I was 360 pounds or so, I would drive down the road and I would pass by a McDonald's after a long day of work and I would get 2 quarter pounders with cheese, sometimes 2 doubles, a couple large fries, a couple sodas. You know, my buddy Jonathan Mudhustler, we talk about the fact that a lot of times what we would do is we would buy an extra soda to make it look like we're buying dinner for two, to not make yourself feel as embarrassed as you needed to. But what was the reason that I ate that food? How come? Why did I eat that food? You know why? I can lay it out there, because I legitimately felt like I needed something that was going to make me feel good. Although internally, the guilt and the feeling that I was having, along with the fact that the calorie content and the fat content, which I'm not going to get scientific on you, is the stuff that was very bad for me. And I knew that it was bad for me, but I still did it because it made me feel good at that moment in time. I had a euphoric feeling, an addiction to food where I felt like nothing else mattered at that moment in time. Now, why did I do that? Why would I put myself in a situation where I knew that I would gain all this weight and I moved my way up all the way up to 360 pounds and I had these moments of just, I don't know, defeat afterwards? I would eat the food and then I would feel so guilty afterwards. And I knew exactly what I did and I knew how I felt and I knew that I didn't want to do it again. So I would always say to myself, I need to right size that. I need to be good to go. I'm not going to do it again tomorrow. I'm going to be good to go after this meal, after I eat these 2 quarter pounders with cheese, after I stuff my face with all this fat content and sit back and go, okay, well, that felt good. I feel full. When now, not that I eat a lot less, I just eat healthier. My portion sizes are different, but I eat throughout the day. And I use food more as a tool to sustain, a fuel source for myself, mind you, right? So my wife and I always talk about, we have turkey burger in the house. And turkey burger is pretty boring outside of the fact of if you're making turkey burgers, it's something quick to throw together and you could throw it together for the family, for yourself and whatever, or you're making turkey tacos or whatever else and you ground up turkey burger or lean chicken and things like that or whatever. Here's the thing. It's not that glorious of an item. I would much rather have a rack of ribs that are lathered in the most fattening sauce in the world. I would rather have some sort of gravy layered over the top of a chicken fried steak on top of some really buttery mashed potatoes, right? I would love to have all those things. But I know how bad they are for me. And I know that outside of my own journey and being the addict that I am in my life, it would trigger something that would cause me to be in a downward spiral if I continued to eat those types of items. Now, a treat every once in a while is okay, but if you don't portion control that treat, if you don't legitimately just take a certain amount that you need to have and not have more at your disposal, then that treat becomes a binge, and the binge becomes a slide, and the slide becomes an avalanche, and the next thing you know, you're buried under 18 feet of snow. And you're feeling guilty, you feel bad, you feel just unworthy of the things that you've put work into. And I don't want to ever live in that space again. I want to be healthy for the rest of my life. There is no finish line. And if you think that if you can get to a certain weight and you get down to a certain weight or you look a certain way or you're a certain lean type of muscle or mass on your body and you feel like you've conquered the world and you're ready to go and you're ready to take on anything that's there. And then you decide, okay, I've hit my goal, I've hit my weight goal, I've hit everything that I needed to do, so now I'm going to kind of go back into some of the old habits that I had before. What's it going to hurt if I eat this full plate of nachos right now when I go out with my friends? Or what's it going to hate if I throw down all these wings that might be a trigger food for you that causes you to eat all kinds of stuff or drink lots of beers? And the next thing you know, you're drinking beers, and then you're eating all kinds of food, and then you feel guilty, and then you're like, okay, well, you know, one day's not bad. Next day, your boy asks you out to go watch the game. You then order more wings or you order a big fat cheeseburger with bacon all over it. And then the consistency and the slide begins over long periods of time. And then the guilty conscience kicks in. And then you know what you're doing, but then you look at yourself doing it and you get to a point where you're just like, okay, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to go ahead and go down the same road that I was doing before. So the reason I share all this is because that's my story. My story, I've had roller coasters all my life. I've lost weight and then I've gained weight and I've lost weight and I've gained weight. This is the longest that I've maintained a weight loss over a long period of time based on the fact that I make smart decisions, although not all of my decisions are the smartest. I still have those moments. The key to it is what am I doing when those moments happen? What happens when I get the triggers? You know, what happens when I eat a certain food or I go to a business meeting and all they have is food that I know is a trigger for me and I have that food and then internally and mentally I think to myself, man, I feel so guilty about that, but what am I going to do about it? Do I portion control and do small bite-sized amounts of whatever food it is that I want at that moment in time? Yes, that's one of the things that I do. If I want wings and I know that wings are to be had, 1 to 2, maybe even 3 wings with some sauce on it and maybe a little bit of dipping ranch or something like that or whatever your dipping of choice is of that. I know for me, it's important for me to make mindful decisions. I need to still have it. I got to be able to sustain my life. I got to still be able to have some of the things that I love. But portion control and the amount that I have of it and to be able to curb the appetite or the craving or the urge is so important. You got to learn how to do that because that's a skill set that has taken work for me to get to. It takes a lot of effort for me to be able to say, I don't want to eat just 3 wings. I want to eat a dozen. But what happens is when I eat the 3 wings or the 4 wings and I put them down, I put the little basket down of the wings in there, and then I'm all set and I walk away from it. About 10 minutes later, I feel full and I feel satisfied. And I didn't think that I would. As I'm eating those 3, I think to myself, you know, what's it going to hurt if I have like, you know, the full dozen, a full rack of them and I'm all set and everything's great? What's it going to hurt? Well, what it's going to hurt is the mental side of food. Because then you feel like you're letting yourself off easy and you're not being true to the things that you want to be able to drive. I got to still be able to have some of those things. But moderation and portion control are the most important part of that equation. So mentally, I know that I feel like I'm satisfying a craving or I'm curbing a certain amount of things that I want to be able to do with that food or that unhealthy-er food that I have. But it's interesting because the way our brains work, we've got to get in front of it. We got to think ahead, right? That's one of the reasons why a lot of people that portion control foods, no matter what the foods you're portion control, if you're portioning bird balls or you're portioning carrots or you're portioning pasta or whatever it is that you're doing, if you portion control, it causes you to know that this is how much I can have to eat and I'm going to eat this amount and know that I'm going to be satisfied a few minutes afterwards. Because during those cravings, when we're starving and we're looking at the food like a ravenous beast to be able to eat it, when you're eating it like that, it just makes a lot of sense that, okay, let me go ahead and continue to eat and pour everything into my gullet. Well, no, that's not the way you should do it. What you should do is portion control. Divide it out. Cook less. if you're cooking for your family, cook just enough that you know that your son or your daughter eat a certain amount of food and your wife eats a certain amount of food. And you need to make sure that you make for yourself a certain amount that you're not going to go back for seconds, thirds, and fourths. Don't set yourself up for failure like that. You can still have the food. Enjoy yourself and do what you have to do. But just know, portion control. Do the things that are necessary for you to be successful. Listen to your brain. If your brain is telling you that I love this type of food and this is my trigger type of food, then one, really focus in on those types of food when those things come around. And know and have a plan, even if you're going out to your bar with your friends or you're going out to whatever, you know you have a plan in place for you to be successful moving forward. I don't know if that helps any, but I was really thinking about it today because I know that food is faced in front of me all the time. I'm on the road all the time and I go through drive-thrus and I got fast foods everywhere. So portion control, being prepared, and those kind of things are so important to me. And I know that it's been successful for me. So I wanted to share that with you guys in case you're having issues with portion control and the items that you love to eat. You can still have them. Just count it out. Make sure you track what you're eating. Do the things that are necessary and portion control and small bite-sized chunks for you to be able to get into versus the whole rack of lamb. Okay? Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to the Coffee Talk with Liquid Chain on 1973 podcast. You can also follow him on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Liquid Chain on 1973. Also, if you get a chance, leave some love on iTunes. Have a great day.